Riley, Judge Rodenberg, Judge Bradfield, the Honorable Denise Riley presiding.
You may be seated. Welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. I know that you all are experienced in this court, and so each side will have 15 minutes with five for rebuttal if you choose to use it. I understand that you may be splitting your time. We're just going to put 15 minutes on the clock and let the two of you figure that out. When you approach the podium, would you please state your name for the record? And the first case on today's calendar is A18-1030, Cleveland Cliffs, Minnesota Land Development versus Minnesota Department of Natural Resources and Mesabi Metallics Company. Are you ready to proceed, counsel?
May it please the court, your honors. My name is William Hefner. I'm here for Relator, Cleveland Cliffs, Minnesota Land Development. A lot of virtual ink has been spilt in this case by respondents arguing first why CCMLD did not have the right to ask for what it did, and then to argue why it doesn't have the right to appeal the denial of those requests to the DNR. I submit to this court that not only did CCMLD have the right to ask for what it did when it did, it had the obligation under the applicable statutes, rules, and permit provisions. Just a little over 14 months ago, CCMLD acquired surface and mineral rights in parcels near Nashwauk, Minnesota. Those parcels, or at least some of those parcels, were subject to the four water appropriation permits that are at issue here in this matter. When that happens, when someone acquires interests like that, the statute, rules, and permit provisions are very clear on what that new owner must do. Minnesota Statute 103G271, Subdivision 7, states, a water use permit may be transferred to a successive owner of real property if the permittee conveys the real property where the source of water is located. The new owner must notify the commissioner immediately after the conveyance and request transfer of the permit. Now, a quick sidebar, your honors, because I know there has also been some dispute as to what constitutes an owner and things like that. For that, I would direct you to Minnesota Statute 103G.297, which is the statute that specifically deals with water appropriations for mining purposes. And Subdivision 2 of that states, an owner of the iron ore, taconite, copper, nickel, or nickel deposits, or the owner of the right to mine the deposits must apply to the commissioner for a permit in the form prescribed by the commissioner. So in the context of a mining water appropriation permit, the owner is the owner of the rights, which in this case is CCMLD.
I want to make sure I understand the facts because of the bankruptcy. And so as I understand it, Mesabi had both state and private leases.
Yes, Your Honor.
And your company, your client, got their rights through Glacier Superior, so through the private leases.
That's correct, Your Honor.
But the bankruptcy settlement that is part of the bankruptcy order that you included in your addendum did not include the state leases.
Correct, Your Honor. And nothing about the request of the DNR had anything to do with the state leases. It's only with regard to the rights and the use and the water appropriation permits associated with the private parcels that CCMLD now owns the rights to.
And so that brings me to my second question, which is that in your brief you said that the permits authorize Mesabi to invade the properties over which Cliff possesses the legal rights. Mm-hmm. And so I looked at the permits that are at issue here and also at the mapping that you provided. So could you please explain what you mean there to me?
Sure, absolutely, Your Honor. First, I would direct you to Exhibit A of the affidavit of Jesse Dunsmore, which we provided in response to our reply. And you'll see, for instance, Mr. Dunsmore included two photographs of an existing conveyance pipeline that is authorized under one of these permits. I believe in that case it was 0043. It currently exists. And the reason why that is an issue.
So just so that I understand,
yes,
I'm holding up, it's page 6 of your addendum. Mm-hmm. And thankfully it's snowy. So I think you're talking about this black looking pipe.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay.
And the other photo, if you have to kind of look on the horizon, but that is also a pipeline kind of up on a terrace.
Okay, area. I see that. Okay. Thank you.
And Your Honor, while we're on that topic, the reason that is an issue, I'm sure the other side is going to focus on, well, we tried to change the appropriation points and that should be enough. But the reason why that's enough is, again, if you look at 103G.297, subdivision 4, it says, if the operations authorized by a permit may affect public or private property not owned by the permittee, before proceeding with the operations, the permittee must, 1, acquire all rights or easements necessary for the operation, 2, pay or give security for the payment of damages to the property that may result from the operations, and 3, give evidence of compliance with this subdivision as the commissioner may require. Ms. Avi's done none of those things in this case, Your Honor.
Well, so that subdivision seems to apply to proceeding with the operations as opposed to the permitting.
But Your Honor, I would submit that by constructing and having conveyance pipelines on our properties, that is operations. So they are proceeding with operations. Those are very real things that exist as part of the proposed conveyances that currently exist on our property.
Let's get to another of Masabi's arguments, which is that no Minnesota statute or rule provides a basis for a third party to a water appropriation permit to compel the DNR to either transfer or terminate a permit.
And again, Your Honor, this is where I was going earlier. We're not a third party to these permits. We're the new owner to the underlying property rights. And if I may continue on, in addition to 103G271, Minnesota Rule 6115-0750, subdivision 6, says if the property involving a water appropriation permit is sold, transferred, or assigned to another person, the permit may be transferred to the transferee without the necessity of reapplication, subject to the following. The transferee, in this case CCMLD, shall, within 90 days after the date of property sale, transfer, or assignment, I'm skipping a few irrelevant words here, submit written notification to the commissioner stating the intention to continue the appropriation as stated in the permit. We're not a third party. We are the new property owners whose interests underlie these permits. Again, we have an obligation. These are directives to us that you need to move. The statute says immediately. The rule and the similar permit provisions say you have to do so within the 90 days. So we're not a stranger to these permits. We have an obligation to ask for what we did when we did. So again, not a third party. We are doing what we're supposed to do in the time frame. So we're not a stranger to these permits. We have the surface rights, we have the riparian rights, we have every right and obligation to ask that these permits be transferred to us, or in the alternative, to be terminated, because the authorizations given by these permits, they're resulting in real world injury in fact to my clients who don't have the free use and enjoyment of their property.
And what is the concrete and actual harm that your client has suffered?
Your Honor, when those conveyance pipelines are on our property, they hinder access to certain parts of the property. Without building a mound or something, you can't traverse over these things. Eventually, CCMLD is going to want to excavate these properties. These pipelines are running along the surface. They're going to be an issue when CCMLD eventually starts to make use and starts mining these properties. So they need to be removed. if I may continue on. As I said, we asked for termination in the alternative if the DNR commissioner didn't, for whatever reason, didn't feel that the transfer was appropriate. We asked for the termination in the alternative, again, to be protective of our interests so that the DNR or Mesabi or someone else in the future, couldn't come back and say, well, you sat on your rights, you didn't say anything at the time you got your rights. So again, to be protective of those rights, CCMLD made a timely request to the DNR to either if transfer it or if you won't transfer it, at least terminate them and get these folks off our properties because they are invading them and we need to make our use of these properties. Now, this termination request from CCMLD shouldn't have been necessary because, again, 6115050 subpart 2 already specifies that when Mesabi lost its rights to the underlying properties, it also lost these permits. Subpart 2 states, long-term permits will remain in effect subject to applicable permit provisions and conditions of the permit, the law in these parts, provided that in cases where the permittee is not the landowner of record, the term of the permit shall be the same as that of the property rights of or license held. So when they lost their property rights, they should have lost these permits as well. So again, when by the time CCMLD in March 2018 asked for the termination, that should have been a foregone conclusion. The DNR had an obligation to act upon that and should have provided notice and started that process for a termination. It didn't. Now, Mesabi has argued that we have waived the right to make that because we didn't cite that particular provision of the rule in our termination request. But as we briefed at length in pages 6 through 13 of our response to their motion to strike, which we incorporated into our reply brief, for all the reasons stated there, no less than the Supreme Court had said that in this sort of situation, there is no waiver of such an argument because it was not an adversarial proceeding below. Furthermore, there's no prejudice to the parties. We gave the reason for the termination at our request that underlies subpart 2 here of 6115050, which is they lost the underlying property rights. So they had every opportunity to respond to that fact. And I think it's telling, Your Honors, that the parties themselves, in response to our request, acted as if Mesabi lost those rights. And I would direct the court to pages 701 to 702 and 558 of the administrative record. Those are minutes, 70102 are minutes from a meeting that the two parties held less than 2 weeks after receiving our request, where if you look at that, of those minutes, it is rife with references acknowledging that CCMLD has the rights and Mesabi does not. 558, which for the record, in page 11 of our principal brief, there was a typo, we referenced that as 598, it should be 558. That is a map that the DNR itself created showing the rights between the parties on this. And it clearly shows CCMLD's rights, surface and mineral, and Mesabi's vis-a-vis CCMLD's. So for them to claim now that there was no acknowledgement or no knowledge of the loss of those rights is belied by their own actions and by the administrative record. And then from there, they proceeded to quote-unquote, amend these permits, which we argue have no legal effect, but they go on to change these permits in a way that they are trying to claim moot our claims, but do not, because at best, they maybe move some appropriations, but they don't move discharge points or conveyance routes or anything like that. So, again, if they did not believe
those amendments don't alter the what we saw in those two photographs?
Your Honor, they may change some appropriation points, but they don't change the discharge points, many of which are still on our properties, and they don't change the conveyance routes. So unless they're going to airlift the surface water from one point to another and drop it into a surface water without touching our land, they have to convey. So they need to change the discharge points, which in turn will change the discharge route that they have to go to get there. So again, they're still invading by authorizing discharge, particular discharge points. They're still invading our property rights.
So, Council, I want to ask one question about a smaller issue that is brief but may perhaps important. So one of the arguments that you make is that the DNR has actually transferred the permits to Mesabi and using that terminology as opposed to the DNR's terminology of changing the name. So what do you think is the best law or legal authority for your position on that?
Well, I think the best law are the ones I cited, Your Honor, 103G271. The rule, but even more than that, Your Honor, I would point you to the statements of the parties themselves. And again, I would direct you to page 565.
Okay. Make sure I understand your answer. So you rely primarily on this regulation six whatever.
But I would also rely on their own past actions, which I can explain later when I get back, because they themselves treated past transfers from the predecessor as transfers, and they use the language of transfer on page 565.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are we ready?
We are.
All right. Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Oliver Larson. I'm with the Attorney General's Office representing the DNR. So I feel like a little deja vu here in front of this panel, talking, representing the DNR and talking about water permits, but here we are. Let me start with this injury issue. And let me give you this analogy. Let's say that the Department of Motor Vehicle gives me a driver's license. That doesn't give me the right to come onto your lawn and drive my car on your lawn. To the extent that there are problems here, if there are pipes or things going on where essentially Mesabi left equipment or pipes on property that Cliffs now claims to own, it has a perfectly adequate legal remedy, trespass. It can go and try and get those things removed through that vehicle. There's nothing about the permit, the existence of the permit, or if the permit was terminated that would result in a legally binding obligation for Mesabi to then grab those pipes and do anything with them.
You're talking about what I was asking about earlier. That is, you're talking about operation as opposed to permits.
Correct. And there's another issue that Cliffs has never actually demonstrated that the situation on the ground actually violates any of the leases. So think about it this way. You know, when you have a commercial lease like this, typically there's going to be terms in the lease that say what happens when the lease ends. Do you have to remove equipment, or can you leave equipment there? Or what is the status to which you have to return the property at the end of your lease? Importantly, that's an issue between, in this case, Glacier and Mesabi. I don't know what their lease has said about what...
In the record?
No. So we don't know what the lease has said about what was supposed to happen when Mesabi's lease is terminated. Were they supposed to pick up these pipes and move them? Or did the leases say you can leave them there? We don't know what the lease has said about that. More importantly, that's an issue between Glacier and Mesabi. Cliffs is a stranger to those leases, right? And there's even an interval of time. Under Cliffs' theory, the leases terminate sometime in October. They don't release this stuff until December. And so if Cliffs has a problem with the fact that there are pipes on the property at the time that they lease it up, their remedy is to go to Glacier and say, hey, Glacier, I don't want this stuff on the property I'm leasing for you. Get it out of here. And if Glacier has a problem then with Mesabi, that's a problem between Glacier and Mesabi. There's no privity of contract or lease between Mesabi and Glacier with respect to any of that. And we don't know what the actual legal requirement is to do anything there. And there's no allegation from Cliffs that Mesabi personnel are actually on the property or actually using any of this equipment. And if they were, the remedy, again, is one of trespass. And in fact, they've got two different lawsuits now going on that exact issue. In Delaware and in Ramsey County, they've got lawsuits trying to basically litigate these issues of trespass. And the district court's going to say whatever it's going to say on those subjects. Related to that, I find myself in a bit of a strange position. Usually in litigation, I'm in front of a district court judge or in front of the appellate court panel telling you, separation of powers, you should leave this issue to the agency. Here, it's like being turned on its head. Essentially, Cliff's coming to the DNR and saying that the DNR's job is to adjudicate these complex, conflicting claims of ownership between Mesabi and Cliff through the vehicle of a water permit. That's just not appropriate. If there are disputes between those two parties, the appropriate place for that is in district court, and the district court will determine what the rights are with respect to the parties in terms of ownership and in terms of trespass and in terms of who's got to move their pipes or not move their pipes. But the permit is really just permission to do things that you otherwise already have the legal right to do. And in fact, if you look at the permits, and we briefed this point, the permits themselves say, you know, before you can actually turn the pump on or do anything with the water, you have to have the legal right from anybody whose legal right you need to get it from in order to do that. So the DNR's not telling anybody you can just willy-nilly go and trespass. DNR wouldn't have the right to do that anyways. DNR doesn't have the power to tell somebody they can trespass. But the permits themselves are very explicit on that point.
So as I understood the argument that we just heard from counsel, they're claiming that they are, as transferee, that they have rights to apply for to apply to the DNR for transfer of this permit.
Right. And there's a couple problems with it. We've briefed them. But, you know, the prime problem, right?
Your best answer.
The primary problem is, well, let me talk about it this way. What is this statute designed for, right? 290, it's 103G297. What is the intent behind these transfer provisions? You know, the intent behind it is, let's say you have somebody who owns a farm, and they've got a appropriation permit from the DNR that's essentially necessary to make that farm work. And the farmer wants to sell the farm to somebody new, and they want to transfer the permits with it, right? That's what this statute is designed for. It's designed to facilitate situations where somebody's taking a business that's a going concern and transfer it to somebody else and needs to transfer the permits along with it. And what Cliffs is trying to do is essentially turn the statute on its head. Take a statute that's designed to facilitate transfers, voluntary transfers of property interests, and use it to allow a stranger, a competitor, to essentially come in and disrupt his competitor's business. So legally speaking, one of the things that Cliff says is, well, the statute doesn't make a lot of sense. We should be allowed to be a transferee here. That's not what the statute said. The statute says in order for you to take advantage of this provision, you have to take the transfer of the property from the owner of the permit or the holder of the permit. That's one thing. And the second thing is it has to be a successive transaction. And again, think about this. There was an interruption.
I understand the practical basis for your argument, but help me see the support for it in the regulation.
Well, no, I think the support for it's in the statute itself, right? The regulation can't modify the statute.
I understand the two go together, so go
right.
ahead.
The statute very, very clearly says that to do the transfer, you have to take the property from the holder. So this is actually in 103G271 sub 7, right?
Yep, that's what I'm looking at.
Yeah, and what it's saying is for the permit to be transferred, it has to go to, first of all, a successive owner. Cliffs is not a successive owner.
Because?
Because there was an interregum in which the leases went from Mesabi to Glacier, and then after a couple of months,
but again,
Cliffs.
You know, the argument we're hearing from opposing counsel is tied to the definition of owner.
Well, Glacier would be the owner then, right? If we're
that
talking
statutory
about the order.
Definition of owner. So right. Tell me what
even
the statutory definition of owner is.
Right, even if seems, we're, sorry.
It seems to expand. I mean, owner can mean a variety of things. Owner of what is sort of the question. Does it have to be the owner of the real property, the owner of the mineral rights, ownership rights of some sort, like under a lease?
That issue is to the side. And the reason for this, No. Glacier was the owner, right? At the time that the lease is terminated, under Cliff's theory, all interest in those properties reverted not from Mesabi to Cliffs, mm-hmm. but from Mesabi to Glacier. Glacier was the owner.
And Glacier had no permit.
And Glacier had no permit and never asked for the permit and never requested a transfer of the permits and never did anything with respect to the permits. Then a couple of months later, it transferred whatever interest it had in the property or the ore to Cliffs. At the time the Glacier did that, it was not the permit holder. It had not done anything with respect to these permits. That's one problem. The more fundamental problem is the statute.
If I'm following your analysis, that means that when I do get to the rule, so 611.5, I would be reading that reference to transferee, that would be Glacier.
Correct.
Correct?
Yeah,
okay.
They take from Glacier, not from Mesabi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that makes sense with the purpose of the statute that underlies all of this. It's designed for, you know, voluntary transfers of going concerns from one party to another, not designed for situations in which, you know, there's an involuntary cancellation of leases and then months later somebody else jumps in and tries to acquire the land and then say, I can also strip from my competitor their permits because I've acquired the land that they lost. And that's clearly not what these statutes are designed to do. I want to talk just briefly about standing. And we've talked about the injury issue. And I think one way to think about it is this way. Again, the injuries that they are talking about are injuries that don't flow from the permit, and which is why they don't have standing to challenge the permit on that basis. But on standing, I just want to make one point. As I was reading the briefs, I noticed this. There's really a distinction in the standing arguments we make. On the transfer issue, really the argument they don't have standing is the same as the argument that they can't take the permits because the statutes just don't allow it. On the cancellation, the argument is also jurisprudential. It's just saying you don't have a legally cognizable interest in trying to get your competitor's permits terminated. That's not something that the law recognizes as a legally cognizable injury that we're going to allow you to come into court and try and accomplish. I'd encourage you, there was a case that, you know, as I said, there's some parallel litigation now in district court. I encourage you to go take a look at a case called Unbanked. So this is Unbanked versus Merwin Drug
Company.
How
are you spelling that?
Unbanked is UNBANK. Okay. The citation for that is 677 Northwest 2nd 105. This is a case that involved two competing check cashing places. And there's a regulation that the Department of Commerce says that basically you can't open a new check cashing place within a certain proximity to an existing one. And so what happened in that case was this happened. Somebody got a license for a new check cashing place, and the person who claimed to be harmed by this sued his competitor and said, hey, district court, you should declare that their license to operate is invalid. And the case mostly turned on issues of necessary party, this court ultimately determining that because the Department of Commerce had not been added to the case, there was a missing necessary party. But the court also said something else. It said, this is not a justiciable controversy. Your interest in dinging the permit of your competitor is not a legally cognizable type of injury. And that's exactly what we've got here. And think about it this way. If the injury that you're talking about flows not from the permit itself, but from the fact that somebody might go into competition with you, right? If that's your injury, that you're going to have competition, that's not a legally cognizable injury. And they haven't been able to point to anything other than that, right? I mean, that's the root of this, is that, yeah, in a practical, real-world way, they would like to ding their competitor's permit. But the injury, to the extent they have it there, is just the injury of competition, not injury flowing from the existence of this water permit. Just a couple other brief points. One thing is, look, nobody's saying here that Cliffs can't get its own water permits if it wants to do that. And in fact, Cliffs requested water permits for these same properties. The DNR granted them some permits. They've got every right in the world to go if they need access to water. Ask for permits. If they meet the conditions, they'll get them.
Just following the ordinary process under 271.
Exactly right. They can get their own permits. And again, I think what that points is that the real intent here isn't that they need these permits to do their own, you know, essentially acquisition of water. The intent here is to essentially ding the permits of its competitor. Last issue, on the bankruptcy case, there actually is no final order in the bankruptcy case adjudicating the lease issues. That case is a very complicated case. The summary judgment order from the court resolved only one part of a wide-ranging hammer-and-tongs litigation going on between Cliffs and Mesabi. Mesabi tried to take an interlocutory appeal from that order. Cliffs has opposed the interlocutory appeal. That's unresolved. If Cliffs was to go in right now and try and get an order from the court to do anything, there's not even a final order of adjudication. So I'm going to actually leave the rest of my time for Mr. Stefanowicz, unless you've got some questions. All right, thank you.
I may please the court, counsel. My name is Rob Stefanowicz, and I represent Mesabi Metallics. Just really briefly, a few points. First, on the point that Mr. Larson just finished on, it is the claim here is premised on the argument that there's been lost rights, and as indicated, that those issues have not been fully adjudicated and are pending and subject to appeal. So that alone is an issue that goes to the ripeness and standing before this court. Also, I wanted to address, since the court was directed to Exhibit A in the affidavit with the pipe, in the description that was given, that is the exact arguments that are being made in a district court, Ramsey County District Court action concerning trespass and nuisance claims. And that is a matter, we referenced it in our brief, it was initially brought by cliffs against the DNR in Mesabi in Itasca County. It's now venued in Ramsey County, and it's court file 62 CV 18 74 73. Those issues are being litigated in district court, and as this court is well aware, certiorari appeal is not the place for the court to be deciding or weighing factual disputes as to property rights and interests. Those are the primary points I wanted to make. One final note is the DNR indicated that if Cliffs desires water appropriation permits, and if that is its true intentions, it has every right to seek its own permits rather than attempt to derail and interfere with Mesabi's mining project by requesting that they be either transferred to it or terminated. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Mr. Hafner.
Thank you, Your Honor. Many things to cover in a short amount of time. First of all, with regard to the DNR's argument that because there was a period of time between when Mesabi lost its rights and Cliffs, or excuse me, CCMLD acquired those, now they've got me saying Cliffs, that is a ridiculous argument on its face, because if that is their argument, if their argument is there was a period of time in between those, well, then you know what should have happened between that period of time when Mesabi lost those rights? They should have pulled those water appropriation permits. They should have terminated under a matter of law. So to suggest that there's this period where they reverted back to the owner and then were given to CCMLD, that makes no sense, because that underscores our argument that during that time what should have happened is DNR should have started the process for the termination of those permits because Mesabi no longer held those. Secondly, that's not even what the statute...
Now, Subdivision 7 relating to transferring the permit says that the new owner must notify the commissioner immediately after the conveyance, but only if there's going to be a transfer of the permit. It doesn't seem as if Glacier had any interest in having the permit.
You're right, Your Honor. By that time, that's why that statute doesn't make sense in this, and why you have to look at the rules. The rule and the permit provisions are more specific to the transfer of the property. So I would submit that the rule and the permit provisions actually fit the real world more appropriately, because if you think about it, as counsel said, when you've had an involuntary loss of rights, to read it the way that the DNR wants to suggest, you would give the power to a party that has just lost the rights. They would be able to hold up the transfer of a permit and the use of those properties by using water appropriation. I don't think that's the way the DNR really wants this to come out. If that is their argument, then I think this court needs to save the DNR from itself and reserve within the DNR that right, and not give the right to a party that has lost its rights to withhold and hold hostage a permit that legally it no longer has the right to hold, that should have terminated when it lost those rights.
How do you respond to the argument that your client can get its own water permits?
And we are, Your Honor, again, as a backstop, CCMLD has submitted its own permits. But again, we're talking about riparian rights here. And the very notion of riparian rights are you have to claim those so that you have them for yourself, so that no one else have it. Surface rights, dewatering, things like that, those are things that there's not a finite supply of those things. We need those things. We need those rights for our own mining operations. So, to suggest that everybody can get along and everybody can have coextensive permits, that's just not true. That's not how it works in the real world. So we had to ask for these things to either be transferred or terminated in order to protect our own future uses for these properties. I have to address the repeated disparagement of CCMLD as a competitor, and that's trying to undermine this. CCMLD is part of its parent company and its sister companies are active, fully viable mining operations on the Iron Range. They have the immediate need to put these resources to use for their own purposes. They didn't spend $50 million to undermine a project that, after 12 years and three owners and the investment of millions of dollars of taxpayer infrastructure, still is nowhere close to operating. So to suggest that CCMLD only did this to undermine Mesabi, Mesabi's doing a pretty good job of undermining itself. CCMLD doesn't need to help with that. So I take issue with the continued disparagement that this is solely motivated for competitive reasons. They're not competitors. Let's see. In terms of the leases between GPIOP, they have no relevance here. We are, of course, at taking every avenue the CCMLD has put Mesabi on notice that it's trespassing, asked it to move these things. It's doing all these things we're supposed to. What we are trying to do here is to remove a legal cloud where Mesabi holds four permits that, in one way or another, give it authorization to encroach upon our rights. All we are asking the DNR to do is to remove that cloud. If the DNR tomorrow were to put out actually fully, officially amended permits that got us off our property, we would be golden.
That's all. Thank you.
Thank you.
The case